Gershwin was a big fan of Ravel's music, and actually through their acquaintance and musical friendship, they both influenced each other in various ways. Gershwin originally contacted Ravel, trying to become his student. He was a very successful composer himself, but coming from basically from big band, from jazz, from musical theater, he actually wanted to apply himself seriously to the realm of classical music, and contacted Ravel via mail to become his student. And Ravel, of course, appreciated the request and said, okay, I do accept this, but Mr. Gershwin, can you please tell me, just answer one question for me. How much did you make on your last commission? And Gershwin wrote back with a number, after which Ravel said, Mr. Gershwin, I think I should be taking lessons from you. The two musical colleagues actually did connect in Paris. Ravel helped Gershwin reach Nadia Boulanger, who told Gershwin that it's a much better idea for Gershwin to be a first-rate Gershwin than second-rate Ravel.
She was a big name in teaching composition.
Yes,
She taught Aaron Copland. For 60, 70 years, she was on everybody's radar.
Yes, and Aaron Copland studied with her and scores of other composers, as well as my solfège teacher from Juilliard, Mary Anthony Cox, who was her assistant for a number of years in Paris. And so I actually have lineage dating back to Nadia and her prolific class, but she did not accept Gershwin simply because he was too good, too creative.
His musical voice is not susceptible to tampering.
Gershwin was a genius. It's very safe to say that. Not only did he bring jazz into classical music, but as you learn from our program, his variations on I Got Rhythm actually influenced jazz. These progressions actually were pushing the envelope in jazz, and Dizzy Gillespie and others actually followed the footsteps of Gershwin.
In what way? Is it sprung rhythms or?
Yeah. I got rhythm, you got rhythm. You know, so this rhythm, actually, the harmonic progressions that are underlying, became a staple for a lot of improvisations that you hear pretty much as one of the main staples of jazz in the decades following Gershwin. Not to mention the Rhapsody in Blue, which we have in our program. This was a piece with big band. The orchestral arrangement followed later on. Gershwin himself played the piano part, as he did on many occasions. And this is a piece that actually, symbolically, it was conceived on the train ride from New York to Boston. And itself, it was a transition from jazz into classical music. So it Rhapsody was itself a train, a journey of one creative composer who actually single-handedly created the United American sound of music, and actually made a bridge between jazz and classical music that was not there before him. And that bridge was actually also in Ravel's music. Jazz influenced Ravel as well.
It is a big, big reputational work for him that established him as a major composer. How much do we owe Gershwin for this, and how much do we owe Frédéric Ruffé, the orchestrator?
We are repaying those debts forever. These were visionaries. Ruffé actually, he has the credit for facilitating this piece in the repertoire. If it remained in the big band repertoire, it never would be so popular, and it would not have had the opportunity to revolutionize the concert hall as it did. Also, Gershwin continued. I mean, he's, by any account, a very, very serious composer. When you look at the score of Porgy and Bess, I mean, this is an extremely intricate
somewhat
piece.
Later than...
Yeah, somewhat later, of course.
In the 30s rather than exactly, 26 20,
yeah,
or so.
Yeah. You know, even the American Paris, I mean, these are very serious works. And you can see that Gershwin had a quality... I mean, he made a lot of money. He had a great career. He was very famous, but his best quality as a person, composer, was his humility. He was friends with Sergei Rachmaninoff, who also helped him with the Rhapsody in Blue. Of course, his friendship with Ravel. He played tennis with Arnold Schoenberg. He even asked Schoenberg for lessons. I don't know where he got that, because what could he learn from a 12-tone composer?
I was going to say, did they count? There couldn't have been just 15, 30, 40 game. It had to be something based on 12 tones for the scoring in tennis.
Exactly. So, but this piece actually, I think you should not be too pedantic with this. It should actually, even though it's a very serious piece, have a sense of an improvisation. Spontaneity that I think it's as much its character as the masterful way in which it was composed.